Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's message was given by First Pres Interim Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Tassie Green. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, which you will find in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles, beginning on page 31 or on the screen. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. God of new beginnings, on that first Easter morning, the disciples struggled to hear the good news. Doubt clouded their minds. Negativity took root and hope vanished with a simple shake of their heads. As we return to this familiar text, help us to hear differently this morning. Open our ears that we might hear the sound of alleluias ringing through this text. Open our minds that the mystery and joy of Easter might feel within reach. Open up our hearts that we may believe the unbelievable. And, like Peter, in this hearing, may we move closer to you. God of the empty tomb, we are hungry for your good news. Speak to us now. With hope in our hearts, we listen and pray. Amen. On the day before the Sabbath, Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met him and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What a powerful story. It grabs our attention. And I've imagined how Mary feels as I have entered into her character. I've seen through her eyes. I've made bold by her bold response. By seeking and being found by Jesus, it changes everything for Mary. Today, we'll look at why Jesus' resurrection can still change us, can still bring us hope. If you think about it, this is like many of our own truest stories. This event in the Bible begins in disappointment, in grief, with an unsolvable problem. The disciples are heartbroken. The two Marys walk to the tomb with spices. They're filled with sadness. How could they possibly get that big stone rolled away? And they're surprised to feel an earthquake, see an angel who easily rolls the stone away and announces this joy: Jesus is not here. He is risen. And it's striking that the angel says to Mary, "Be not afraid. Don't be afraid." Angels always begin this way in the Bible. Take a look, you'll see it's true. Dale Bruners points out that the message of the gospel cannot be heard where there is fear, because fear monopolizes our attention. Fear paralyzes our response. Think about it. If your loved one walks into a room and says, "I've got good news and bad news," what do you want to hear first? If you're like me, I always want to hear the bad news because that's all I can think about then. That's what I fixate on. I wonder, what went wrong now? That's fear coming out. So instead, the angel reassures the women that he has good news. Don't be afraid. This keeps them on their feet. It keeps them ready. The angel gives them strength to experience the miracle. He prepares them to be witnesses, to tell the story, eager for the task ahead. All this begins by banishing fear. The angel says, "I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He is not here. He was raised, just as he said." Just as he said. The angel reminds them that since Jesus has kept this impossible promise, Jesus can keep all his other promises. So why is this such big news? Well, up till now, Jesus preached the gospel. Now Jesus becomes the gospel. He is risen. Jesus himself is the good news of the gospel, and in the resurrection, Jesus has conquered death and fear. Brunner adds, if Jesus has been raised, then humans can have hope for their own resurrection, and there is purpose in life because then Jesus is Lord of all of life. Here and now, not just someday after we die. Jesus is Lord of life now. Jesus has power to impact our lives today as well as after death through his promises. So it's not just big news, it's urgent news. Jesus wants them to go quickly to share this good news. So they hurry away, afraid, yet filled with joy. I wonder, do you think fear and joy can coexist? Maybe. A group of Presbyterian pastors was studying this passage. They asked this question of one another, and one of them blurted out, "Oh, yes, I know it can, because I just got married." Fear and joy mixed. That's realistic to our own experiences, right? And so as the women hurry away from the tomb, they meet Jesus himself. Jesus is why this story is life-changing. Not everyone believed them at first. When you read the Gospel of Luke, the account is told differently. It tells us this. Let's look at Luke 24. "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened." Now, if you think about it, this is Peter, who last denied Jesus, who went off in sorrow. Peter hears the women's story. He comes running back to the tomb, hoping against hope to see Jesus alive, perhaps to make it right. Well, Jesus will meet Peter again, but not right now. Even after all Peter's testing and failing and denying Jesus, Peter still has enough faith to hope to get to the tomb, to check the story out for himself. Do we? How does Jesus' empty tomb, how does Jesus' resurrection still impact us today? I can think of three ways that the risen Christ Jesus helps us, three ways that Jesus helps us to break free from fear, to enter life, and to find a new hope-filled story for us to live out. So we'll quickly look at these three ways. So the first, the risen Christ helps us break free from fear. Jesus says to Mary, "Don't be afraid," because fear screens out the good news. Fear jams up the gospel. I know that's true for me. Fear is an enemy of God's plan in Jesus Christ, God's plan to save the whole world, to redeem the whole world. But we don't have to conquer that fear and failure alone because the Holy Spirit helps us, just as the angel, just as Jesus helped Mary go share the good news. The risen Christ can raise us up from what holds us back in order for us to experience this abundant life here and now, moving past fear today in real time as we follow Jesus. How am I so sure that this is possible? Well, Jesus met death on that cross, and now at the tomb, death meets life in Jesus Christ, the risen one. Jesus, the very one who was tried as and crucified as a common criminal, laid in a borrowed tomb, raised again on the third day. In the resurrection, all of Jesus' grand claims are shown to be true, backed up by God the Father, who raises Jesus Christ from the dead. All of Jesus' claims are vindicated since God raises him from the dead through the resurrection. How does that impact us? It's exactly because of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus can rescue us, too, from the trap of fear. The risen Christ shows us that what we fear does not win out in the end. Death is real, but God's final winning word is life. Life in Jesus Christ. So way number two, the risen Christ helps us enter into life. Just as Jesus' resurrection brings out boldness in Mary, in Peter, and in us, the disciples meet the risen Christ. Think about it. He transforms them. From what? From a terrified band of fugitives. One gospel says they were hiding in an upper room, and he meets them. First the women and later the men, he transforms them into messengers with a disregard for danger. They become people with no fear for their own safety, ready to spread this good news throughout the whole world eventually. It's such a bold message. It's such good news that it can help us move through our fear. If we stop to think about it, we may find that our own lives have been filled with fear based on a story that we tell ourselves over and over. A story of our mistakes or our prejudices or those who have prejudices against us, our misperceptions of God as distant, as uncaring. Perhaps a story of a rigid religion that we grew up with, or even fear of becoming who God created us to be. God created us to be what? Whole and healthy and connected with God and others in love. Beloved, welcomed, given new life in Jesus Christ, liberated. So Jesus can free us from that trap of fear. The risen Christ can free us from paralyzing dead ends so that we can respond too in hope and in love and with boldness, with joy. Now you might say that sounds impossible, but it has happened before. We've seen and heard today how Jesus freed Mary and Peter and the first disciples through meeting Jesus. Are they special? Well, yes, they're special. But are they the only ones whom Jesus frees from fear, whom Jesus uses? No. Willijohn was a pastor who founded Operation Haiti. He has a story of running toward his fears. When he graduated from Bible school, he bought a ticket to Haiti and got in an airport taxi and said to the driver, "Take me to where they need Jesus." And the taxi driver said, "I know just the place. Witch doctors have just burned down a church when they took it over. They're bad people. You should be afraid." And so Willijohn arrives, and the church is destroyed. The ashes are still smoking, and there are three witch doctors inside. Willijohn marches into the church, and he proclaims, "Kneel to Jesus Christ or leave." And immediately, two of the doctors run away. And then the third says, "I will kill you," and he raises a knife to lunge at Willijohn. And Willijohn says, "No, you will kneel to Jesus or leave." And that witch doctor falls to his knees and confesses Jesus as Lord. That man became the associate pastor of the church that was rebuilt on that spot. Jesus changed him. And Willijohn explains how he got past the fear. He said, "I have already made the decision to face the fear. God has spent years preparing my heart so that in the moment it takes no thought to be ready, whatever may come." How can we make that decision so that in our moments it takes no thought to be ready? In our story, we looked at Mary, who has been taught by Jesus, and so when she meets the risen Christ, she falls at his feet in worship, and nothing is ever the same for her again. Jesus commands her, go quickly, tell, and she does. And in that moment, it takes no thought to be ready, because she is filled with Jesus' joy. Mary runs to tell the disciples the good news. She runs. She doesn't let fear slow her down. And Jesus says, go tell my brothers I'm raised. I will meet them. They will see me in person. Jesus promises them and us there's a new life ahead. Death is real, but God's final winning word in Jesus Christ is life. What might it look like to choose life? How do we figure that out? Well, I think about in nature, when faced with fear, creatures have two obvious responses. Let's think about it. The possum. What does the possum do? The possum plays dead, right? It chooses a state of not life in order to cheat death. It curls up and it lies still, hoping the predator will be fooled, give up, and go away. Now, how does that work when they encounter a car? Not so great. Ask the possum, otherwise known as road pizza. But instead, if you look at the bobtailed deer, the deer startles and jolts straight up to jump and run. The deer does what it does best, run. It actively moves to save its life. We can make a decision to move, to follow Jesus, so that in our moments, it takes no thought to be ready. We jump into action. So thirdly, the risen one helps us find a new hope-filled story to live out. Jesus wants his disciples and us to take action and to embrace life, not merely live in a state of not life, to curl up in a ball in our fear. And Jesus calls the church to the same, to embrace life, not to live in not life. Both the angel and the eyewitnesses are told to go, and they jump and they run, and they are witnesses to life. Are we willing? Are we ready? We can find life too. The resurrection means that Jesus can bring life to us too, especially as we live in wonder at what Jesus has done, just as the scriptures tell us that Mary did, that Peter did. If you think about it, when you have big family news, like say maybe the upcoming birth of a new baby, can you go through a day without telling it? It's almost impossible not to share the big news with somebody. When we find joy, we want to share it. That's how God has wired us. Joy and action are linked. The same with our faith. We need to share it, to share our joy, and then we find that we are truly living. We're living in wonder at how the resurrection of Jesus can change us and change those around us, can change our world, because we have an incredible story to share. So instead of running with fear, we can lean into the Holy Spirit to help us. In that moment of fear, we can pray for the Holy Spirit to help, for strength to conquer the fear. We can be ready to tell a new story. Remember what Willijohn said? He said, I have already made a decision to face the fear. God spent years preparing my heart so that the moment it takes no thought to be ready. When we've decided, it takes no thought for us to overcome fear, perhaps to take four steps toward another, or to ask, how are you? How can I help? Or tell me more. Or tell me your story. Where have you seen God in your life? When we find joy, we want to share it. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, has the final word in our lives too. Fear does not. Jesus is in the business of bringing new life and unexpected joy. Death is real, but God's final winning word in Jesus Christ is life. I don't know your situation, but I invite you in this time to pray a breakthrough prayer with this congregation. We've been learning to pray in this way all through Lent, that we can bring our fears, our most difficult circumstances to the God of the universe and entrust it into his hands. So let us pray together the words that are in your bulletin or on the screen. Join me. God, we lift our situation to you with our prayers. Please do what we cannot do ourselves. Change what we cannot change ourselves, including your changing us without limits. Amen. You see, here's the life-changing zinger of this story. The stone is not rolled away to let Jesus out, but to let the women and Peter in. Jesus was already gone. The stone is rolled away to let them in on the good news, to let them in on the joy, to see Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is full of life. And to let them begin to experience that new life for themselves, and then for them to jump up and run to tell others the good news. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Once more with joy, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.